Welcome to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. We're in between Season 6 and Season 7, which will start on July 25th. During the four-week break between seasons, we're posting audio sermons each week instead of the regular episodes. The sermon for this week is titled, Many Other Things, and was preached on April 23rd, 2017 at the Eastside Church of Christ in Morgantown, Kentucky. As with the other lessons we post, I invite you to test what is taught in light of what the scriptures teach. With that being said, here's this week's lesson.
If you would turn in your Bibles to John chapter 21, we'll be looking at a passage here as the basis for our lesson this morning. While you're turning there, I'll mention that this evening, Lord willing, what we're going to be talking about is one of the, we might say, a minor character in the Bible, the one that reading through the Gospels, we probably recognize his name, Joseph of Arimathea. We're going to be looking at him this evening in our lesson to see what lessons we can learn from him. We're going to be looking at some of the challenges that he had and also some traits that existed in him that we ought to emulate. And so we're going to be talking about him this evening, so I invite you to come back and meet with us then as we study that lesson together. This morning I want us to begin by reading John chapter 21, verses 24 and 25. This comes at the conclusion of John's gospel. And John writes this. He says, "This is the disciple who is testifying to these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written." When John wrote his gospel, he did this as an eyewitness of the events that he wrote about. He was with Jesus. He saw the things that he was doing. He saw the works that he was performing. He heard the messages that he taught. He was an eyewitness of these things, but more than just being an eyewitness. Over in John 16 and verse 13, Jesus promised his disciples that he would send the Spirit who would guide them into all the truth. And so he had the Spirit. He was one who was inspired by God. And when we think about John and others of the disciples being eyewitnesses, it wasn't just that he was an eyewitness. We may have seen something happen 20, 30 years ago, and John was writing this several years after these things happened. And we may talk about something that happened to us 20 years ago, and we don't remember all the details. We may remember basically what happened, but we don't remember all the details. We don't remember exactly what this person said to us or what we said to them. But when we look at John and we look at the other eyewitnesses that we read about as they wrote these things down in the New Testament, these weren't just ones who were remembering what Jesus said. Over in John chapter 14 and verse 26, it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." So John wasn't like us in that he was trying to remember what happened 30, 40 years ago, maybe more than that. He wasn't trying to remember what happened and then write those things down based on his fallible memory. He was aided by the Holy Spirit in his memory, where he was writing these things down accurately, no matter how many years have passed. He was writing these things down accurately as far as what Jesus said and what he did. And so he was an eyewitness to these things. And so we can understand, as it says there in verse 24, we know that this testimony is true. We can believe in this, not only because an eyewitness saw this and wrote this down. Typically, we believe eyewitnesses. We believe that when people saw something and said, "This is what I saw," we believe them. That's how people come to decisions in cases in court, because of what eyewitnesses saw and what they testify about. But this wasn't just an eyewitness, just any eyewitness. This was someone who was divinely aided by the Holy Spirit to have a perfect memory about what happened. However, you read what John writes here in verse 25 of John chapter 21. He says there are also many other things which Jesus did. And he says that if these were all written down, if we took the time and those who were witnessing these things wrote down in detail everything that Jesus said or did, John says that the world itself would not contain the books that would be written. And so when John mentions that there are many other things that Jesus did that are not recorded, and say, well, we're missing something. There's things that we could learn that we're not able to learn because they're missing. Well, actually, we look at John's statement here, and we can learn a lot from that statement that says there are many other things that could have been written but haven't been written. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. What does this teach us? This fact that the Bible doesn't contain everything that Jesus said or did. It doesn't contain every little detail about his life. What does this say about the Bible and what has been given to us? Number one, it tells us that the Bible is concise. And this is by design. We turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. It would not be possible for God to include everything, for the Holy Spirit, as He is inspiring these writers to write these words down. It would not be possible. John said the world itself would not contain the books that would be written. Not only is it not possible, based upon what John says there, but as we see is from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and what the wise man tells us, it would be counterproductive for everything to be in there, every little detail, every little thing that happened in Jesus' life and the life of those around him. If all of that was written and all of that was recorded, it would be counterproductive for the purpose of why the Bible was given. Notice in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 12, it says, "But beyond this, my son, be warned, the writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body." John said that the world itself could not contain the books that will be written. Imagine if we tried, if the disciples there tried to write down everything that happened in the life of Jesus. And then you have libraries filled with thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of books that contain in detail everything that happened in Jesus' life. And we try to sit down and begin with one book and go through that book and try to, after that, after several hours finished going through that book, we try to go through another book and we haven't even scratched the surface of what we have in Jesus' life and what he said and what he did. Solomon says here in Ecclesiastes 12:12, excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. Any college student who's studying for exams knows the reality of this, that excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. It is an exhausting task. It is mentally taxing on us to spend this amount of time in studying, whether it's biology or history or whatever it is, to study these things and commit these things to our minds so that we are able to understand them to pass a final exam. Now, when we take this and say, well, what if this were books about Jesus? And maybe we're more interested, and we ought to be more interested in reading about Jesus than we would about biology or mathematics or history or things like that. We're more interested, hopefully, to read about Jesus. But even then, what Solomon says here is still true. Even when we're studying the body, it is something that takes effort. It is something that requires work on our part. And excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. And notice what he says in the next verse. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. That's our purpose. Our purpose is to fear God and keep his commandments. But if we have all of these volumes of books that have been written down that we can never go through them all, we can never read them all, we can never process them all, how are we ever going to be able to fulfill our purpose to fear God and keep his commandments? We would never even read all of the commandments. We would never even read everything that he has given us to do. His commandments, as it says in 1 John 5 and verse 3, are not burdensome. It is something that we can comprehend. It is something that we can take into our minds and be able to understand them and process them and be able to carry out those commands. We can fulfill that purpose, and we can do that because the Bible is concise. You can imagine what it would be like otherwise. If the Bible was not concise, if it contained every little detail, and as John says, that not even the world would contain all the books that would be written, if it contained every little detail about Jesus' life, We would be like those false teachers that Paul warned Timothy about, who are always learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. We would be like those philosophers on Mars Hill in Athens, who would spend all of their time in nothing but seeing and hearing something new, because that's all we would be doing. We could start from one book and continue on and read everything in detail about the life of Jesus, and all we would be doing is reading nothing other than something new, because it's going to be new details, new facts, new information that we hadn't heard before, and there's going to be more as we continue to go through that process. We would be like Festus's perception of Paul, where as he was giving his defense before Agrippa, Festus interrupted him and says, "Paul, your great learning is driving you mad." That's what we would be. We would be like ones that with everything that we learn and we try to fit all of this in our head and we try to process all of this information, we would be like what Festus believed Paul was, that his great learning had driven him mad. That's where we would be if the Bible was not concise. All we would be able to do is learn. Now I think, well, isn't learning important? Well, it is important. If you look over in Proverbs chapter 1, learning is essential. Learning is very important in order to be able to please God and to walk as He would have us to walk. It says in Proverbs 1 and verse 5, "A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel." So learning's important. But if all we do is learn, if all we're able to do is learn because of the volume of information that God gave us, if that's all we could do, then we wouldn't end up getting to fulfilling our purpose of fearing God and keeping His commandments. James 1:22 says we are to be doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. And so John says there are many other things that were not written down. And the reason why they weren't written down is because God wanted His word to be concise. He wanted to be where we could study it and we could then put it into practice and not spend all of our time learning and never being able to do what He has taught us to do. So the Bible is concise. We also learn when John says that there are many other things that have been given, we learn that the Bible is understandable. We think, why does the Bible contain what it does? You go back to John, the chapter before where we started, in John chapter 20. Why does the Bible contain what it does? The reason why what is in the Bible is there is in order to produce belief in us, to produce faith in us. In John chapter 20, in verse 30, it says, "Therefore many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of His disciples, which were not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." God gave His word to us, and John says that there are other things that are not written in this book, which again would have filled all the books that the world could have held if they were written down in detail. But John says here in John 20 that there are other things that are not written down, but the purpose, the reason why these have been written was that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and not that you'll believe that fact alone, but that believing you may have life in His name. This is for the purpose of allowing us to reach the reward of heaven, that we can have eternal life. And so for something to be believed, it first has to be understood. If we don't understand something, then we can't really say that we believe it. Someone can tell us something, and we don't really understand what they're saying, but we can say we believe it. We don't really believe it. We believe them. We trust them. But we don't really believe what they're saying because we don't understand it. For something to be believed, for a message to be believed, we have to understand the message. And if you look over in Ephesians chapter 3, when God revealed His word, we talked about the fact that He made it concise so that we could go through it, so that we could understand it. But He also revealed it in a way that we can, when we study it, comprehend it and understand it. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4, Paul says, "By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ." Paul was receiving these things he described as the revelation of the mystery there in verse 3. But the things he received from God by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he was going to receive this information, and he was going to understand this information. And Paul says here, when he writes to the brethren in Ephesus, when you read these things, you can have my insight. You can understand what I understand. Not that I'm writing these things down and you'll have a completely different understanding. You'll have some other insights that are completely different and contrary to what I have. He says, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. This will be a common understanding. We see in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17 that God has commanded us to understand His will. Ephesians 5:17, it says, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. God has given us His word. He's revealed it to us. He wants us to understand it. He's commanded us here to understand it. And when we think about the commands that God has given, He has never given people a command that cannot be carried out. He has never given a command that we are simply incapable of doing. So when He says we are to understand His will, we know we can understand His will, that we are capable of doing that. Now obviously some passages are more difficult than others. Peter talked about in 2 Peter 3 and verse 16, how there were some difficult passages that people would twist to their own destruction. But we can, with study and with effort, and again, talk about how much study is wearying to the body because it takes work. Even when we're studying the Scriptures, it takes work and diligence on our part. We can understand these things, even those passages that are more difficult. If you look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we think about the fact of the Bible being understandable. What that means is that the Bible, understanding the Bible and studying the Bible, is not something that is reserved for these so-called elites, the religious leaders, whether it's the preachers or pastors or ministers or whatever label the denominational world puts upon people. It's not reserved just for those people, just for the theologians, just for the scholars. It is for everyone. And notice what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. He says, for consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, the weak things of the world, to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world, and the despised God has chosen the things that are not, so that He may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. He asks these brethren here, consider your calling, meaning consider those who have answered the call of the gospel. Consider those who are among your number. And that there are not many who are wise according to the flesh, mighty according to the flesh, wise according to the flesh, noble according to the flesh. There are not many people like that. The reason why is because they want to be able to boast in something else. They want to be able to look at themselves as being better than others. And so when they look at the gospel, and the gospel is for everyone, over in Mark chapter 12, it talks about how the common people there in verse 37 heard Him gladly. The New American Standard says the large crowd enjoyed listening to Him. Well, they enjoyed listening to Him. They heard Him gladly, because He was speaking in a way that they could understand His message. They understood what He was saying and could listen with that understanding. Well, notice in the next verse what Jesus warns about. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 38, in His teaching He was saying, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like respectful greeting in the marketplaces. It goes on and talks about the chief seats in the synagogues and all of this, all the things that they do that were for elevating themselves. But the scribes there that He's talking about there in verse 38, these were the ones who were educated. These were the ones who knew the law. These were the ones who others would look up to them as being knowledgeable about the things of God. Well, they were also arrogant in this. And they were ones that Jesus says you are to beware of them. He warned them about those who we would say were highly educated. Now, this does not mean that education is wrong or that education is unimportant. But again, it can, not always, but it can produce arrogance. You think about what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. where he talks about how knowledge makes one arrogant. And in that case, he was talking about knowledge of the Word of God and of the truth. And so even that can make one arrogant. So you think about the knowledge of the traditions of men and the ways of men, and also the learning of men in different subjects and in different matters, that can cause one to become arrogant. If you look over in James chapter 1, in James chapter 1, we talked about already verse 22 where James says we are to be doers of the word and not merely hearers. How can we be doers of the word? Well, we first have to understand the word. We first have to accept the word. And notice what he says here in James 1 verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted which is able to save your souls. Arrogance is a hindrance to accepting God's word. Arrogance prevents one from learning and understanding what the Bible has to say. Humility, James says, is what's necessary for us to receive that word and have it implanted in our hearts so that it can save our souls. We need to make sure that we know what God has told us in His Word, and we must be humble in order to do that. But God has revealed it in a way that we can understand it if we approach it with a proper attitude. Back in John chapter 20, final point I want us to look at this morning. John said there in verse 21, chapter 21, as we read, that if there were many other things that were not written down. And he says in chapter 20 again, why are these things written down that have been recorded? It is so that belief can be produced, so that we can have faith in Christ, and that faith leads to eternal life. And what has been recorded for us in the Word of God says the Word of God is to produce belief. But what's been recorded is sufficient to produce belief. It has everything that we need. Over in 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter talks about here how God has given us everything that we need through the knowledge of Christ. And notice how he describes it here in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. He has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness, and it is through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence, through the knowledge of Christ, through what has been revealed to us about him and what he taught in his word, we have everything that we need. Everything that pertains to our life here, and also everything that pertains to how we can please God, how we can live godly, so that we can reach the reward of eternal life. If we needed anything else, God could have given that to us. And again, it goes back to the first point. The Bible is concise. It doesn't contain everything. So if there was something else that we needed besides what is in the Bible, God could have added that in there, because it's not an overwhelming volume that we couldn't add one more piece to it and still be able to read it and understand it and apply it. If there was anything else that we needed, God could have put it in there, but he didn't. The Bible has everything that we need in order to please him. But what if the Bible doesn't answer some question that we have? We might have questions, or people may approach us with questions about the Bible and about God and about spiritual things. What if there's some question that we have or someone else has that the Bible doesn't address? It doesn't contain the answer to. But if it doesn't answer that particular question, it means that answering that question is not necessary for us to reach our goal. And again, why does the Bible contain what it does? John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. John says that there were other things that were performed that were not written down, but he says in verse 31, these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. That's the goal that we're trying to reach. And so if there's some other question that someone has, or that we think of that, well, I don't know what this means, or I don't know how this happened, and the Bible doesn't address it. Well, if the Bible doesn't address it, That means we don't need to know it in order to reach the goal of heaven. It means we don't need to be able to answer that question in order to fulfill our purpose, as Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, is to fear God and keep His commandments. God has given us what we need in His Word to fulfill our purpose and to reach our goal. And if it's not related to those things, then there may be many other things that we think about, many other things that we wonder about and other people wonder about and ask us about that are not in there. But that's because they are not necessary to reach our goal or to fulfill our purpose. The reality is that God has not told us everything that we may wonder about. You look over in your Bibles into Deuteronomy chapter 29. And this is given to the Israelites as they were given the law of Moses. They were given this law to govern them. Now, we understand the scriptures teach this law has been nailed to the cross. However, this principle that is stated here in Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29 still applies when we get into the New Testament as well. But notice how it's worded here. Deuteronomy 29:29, it says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law." There are other things that God knows that we don't know. And there are things that God is aware of that He just never revealed to us. Things in His knowledge that are just not being given. We think about Jesus and His life, and John says that the world cannot contain the books that would be written. And you think about God and the depth of His wisdom and knowledge and all of that. We think about the world not being able to contain what Jesus did on the earth. How could the world ever contain all the books that would be written about what God knows and what God has done that we don't even know about, that's not even recorded in the scriptures? The secret things belong to God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever. Why? Why have they been given to us? Why has this revelation been given? So that we may observe all the words of this law. God has not told us everything that we might wonder about, but in His Word, He has told us what we need to know in order to please Him and fulfill our purpose here and to reach that goal of heaven. So as we think about these things and what John tells us about the fact that the world itself cannot contain the books that would be written, there were many other things that Jesus did that haven't been written down. But we learn from that what has been written down, what has been recorded, what has been revealed in the Bible is that it is concise, that it is understandable, and it is complete. And because of that, we can study and learn the will of God, and we can take what we learn and see what God would want us to do and live according to what He would want us to do. And so what we need to do each and every day, we need to study the Word of God and approach it with an open and an honest heart. And in everything, seek to conform our lives to His will that has been revealed for us in His Word. So as we close the lesson this morning and extend the Lord's invitation, we want to invite anyone who is not a child of God to become one. And if you are here this morning and you have, through your reading and study of the Scriptures, as John says here, that these things have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believe and you may have life in His name, John 20:31. If you believe that, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you can have eternal life. It says in John 1:12 that if you believe, you have the right to become the Son of God. And so you believe that Jesus is the Christ. Are you willing to repent and turn away from your sins? Are you willing to confess your faith and then be baptized into Christ to have your sins washed away? And if you are, then you could do that today. You can be baptized into Christ. You can be added by the Lord to the church. You can have your sins washed away. If you've done that, but you haven't lived as you should, maybe you have sin in your life as a Christian, then you need to repent of that. You need to pray to God and ask Him for forgiveness. And if there's any way we could help you or encourage you, we'd be happy to do that. But whatever your need is, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.